Good evening, church. Welcome to part two of the final series of our Home Friendship Group lessons for 2022, entitled Lose to Win. I'd like to open with a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have, Lord, to understand your word, to delve deeper in what you're trying to tell us, Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that we would come to understand your word. And Lord Jesus, we would take it into our lives and we would transform ourselves. In your mighty name I pray, amen. The title for my lesson tonight is Team Effort. I'd like to begin with a passage of scripture, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. And it reads, "Then he said to them all, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." This passage of scripture provides a unique perspective on what it means to be a servant in the kingdom of God. The method Jesus proposed is this: through developing a habit of self-denial, we can participate in the extent of salvation afforded to us by his grace. I'd like to open up to Mark chapter 6, verses 32 to 37. "So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. 'This is a very remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?' Last week, we talked about the commandment of scripture to serve and honor our families. For Jesus, even as a young man, obedience and submission were important aspects of doing the will of God. Jesus served, it was commanded of him. The power of his acts of obedience leave us with a powerful realization. We ought to obey the commandment to serve and honor those around us as well. We read in Mark 6 that Jesus had come a great distance from the boy that featured in the narrative of Luke 2. By this time, Jesus was well into his ministry. For Jesus, serving those around him had become a fact of life. In verse 32, Jesus was taking a momentary break from serving those around him. For a man whose whole life was tied up with blessing the people around him, this recess is noteworthy. Jesus went out on the boat to give himself some time to rest from his responsibilities to the multitude. His aim was to have a few moments of privacy, a reprieve, an opportunity to unwind. This is proof that Jesus was completely human. We all need a break now and then. Verse 33 indicates the multitudes watched Jesus and the disciples enter the ship. This, however, did not stop them from continuing to seek out attention. Remarkably, they followed the ship along the shore to where it eventually docked. This is evidence they recognized Jesus had the ability to meet their needs. They followed in faith. By the time the ship docked, Jesus recognized something in the audience. He noted they were sheep not having a shepherd, lost people without direction, and he was moved with compassion for them. As Jesus emerged from his afternoon nap, this compassion drove him to serve, which in this case demanded he teach them. Jesus was motivated to serve by a genuine kind of love and compassion. For Jesus, the people around him were motivating agents. They made him want to serve. After some time of teaching, a conflict arose. This multitude of people had been following Jesus all day, and they had nothing to eat. Furthermore, the disciples themselves had worn themselves out, helping Jesus to manage such a large audience. The disciples proposed to Jesus that they send the multitude away so they could meet their own needs and have another recess. In his compassion, Jesus saw the opportunity for another option. This is one of many instances in the Gospels in which there was a difference of opinion between Jesus and his disciples. The disciples were preoccupied with their business. They needed to eat as well, and it had been a long day. Jesus, however, was preoccupied with the needs of those around him. Meeting needs is what Jesus does. Mark chapter 6, verses 38 to 34, read. "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. What happened next was miraculous. Jesus decided on a resolution for the multitude's problems. It did, however, require the disciples to continue to work and to serve. The disciples were asked to help in organizing the multitudes into companies. Their service to Jesus' work was only the beginning. With a prayer of blessing over the meal of 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus started breaking the bread and flaying fish. The disciples hurried to distribute what Jesus was miraculously producing. In the end, the 5 loaves and 2 fish that Jesus began with had somehow increased. 5,000 people were fed by Jesus and the efforts of his disciples, and 12 baskets of leftovers remained for the next leg of their journey. Had the disciples had their own way, their day would have already ended, and they would have missed out on an incredible faith-building event that shaped their lives forever. Jesus' compassion made it all happen. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. In Mark 12, Jesus called compassion and service important elements of living for God. When a scribe approached Jesus to ask him about which commandments of Scripture ought to be the greatest priority, Jesus responded, "Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. In verses 32 to 34, Jesus confirmed the insight of the scribe. To love your neighbor is of a greater importance than even offerings and sacrifices. This conversation should cause us to consider, A, how important it is to our relationship with God, how important to our relationship with God is the way that we treat those around us, B, our compassion and love motivating factors of our lives, and C, do we truly love those around us with the same conviction that we love God? These are very important things to consider. Jesus prioritized people. He did not make commandments for his disciples that he was not committed to himself. He loved everyone. Genuine compassion moved him to act out of love. The result was service and sacrifice. Matthew 16, verse 25 reads, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." This passage of scripture indicates that we must lose something of ourselves in order to find the life God has called us to. As indicated in the story of Jesus, loving and serving the people around us can be a taxing experience. A lot can be lost in ministry to our peers. Loss of time, loss of energy, and even loss of opportunities, the opportunities to do things that we would otherwise enjoy. Loving people requires a lot of us. Loving people around us takes work. If we do not love loving people, serving can be a frustrating experience. We lose, but we do not win. Passion is a process. Connecting to Christ's passion for people and to our own motivation to serve those around us is a big part of growing in our relationship with God. We may not immediately love giving to those around us. None of the disciples were signing up for more hours of work on the day Jesus decided they would spend a few more unpaid. None of the disciples wanted to spend a few more unpaid hours working. And just because serving others may not be fun, does not mean it is not rewarding, as the disciples learnt by the end of those unpaid hours of work. Although the disciples may not have wanted to serve, they did it anyway out of obedience. The result was this. They helped Jesus fill the bellies of his audience. They were given a meal for themselves, and each of them could leave the experience with a basket of leftovers. Service literally fed the disciples. It fed them not only at that moment, but it also left them with the assurance they would have food the next day as well. This is what losing to win really means. The disciples gave up a moment for ministry, and the Lord rewarded them for it. The reward was more than momentary gratification. It was a gift for the hours and days ahead. When we discover that serving those around us is far more rewarding than it is taxing, excitement, passion, and appreciation naturally follow. The dividends of service to our peers are not readily apparent. We often focus on the loss of time and energy associated with service, and those are real things. When we start serving, though, we'll be surprised at how enjoyable and fulfilling serving really is. Let's consider some ways to serve our peers. Tell someone about Jesus and invite that person to church this week. In witnessing, we are serving others' spiritual needs. Practice listening to others. The Lord has placed each of us in a position to give spiritual advice to those around us. The Holy Ghost gives wisdom and peace and can benefit our peers. Get involved in a service project of some kind. There are lots of opportunities to volunteer around church, at school, and in the community. Participating in service projects exposes us to needs around our community that we can help meet. Jesus Christ's preference for his brothers and sisters was motivated by compassion. We ought to be similarly moved by compassion for the lost around us. Throughout the Bible, we can find numerous stories of kindness and compassion that led to the will of God being fulfilled in people's lives. I'd like to share some of these with you. The story of Moses and the Pharaoh's daughter. Most of us are familiar with the story of Moses and how he helped free the Israelites from slavery. Yet the story of how he, an Israelite, became the son of an Egyptian princess, is sometimes left out. Moses was born at a time when there was much fear among Egyptians that the Israelites might one day rise up against them. So the king of Egypt ordered that all baby boys born to Hebrew mothers must be killed. To save his life, Moses' mother put him in a basket and allowed the basket to float down the Nile River. At that moment, one of Pharaoh's daughters was taking a bath in the said river. When she saw the floating basket, she became curious and asked one of her servants to go pluck it out of the water. Upon opening the basket, she saw that it was a Hebrew baby. Knowing full well the danger that baby was in, she took pity on Moses and decided to adopt him. And that's how Moses grew up in the courtyard of the Egyptian king. Just like the parable of the Good Samaritan, Moses' adoption story proves that kindness transcends race. The Egyptian princess was well aware of her father's orders, yet she went against him and risked his wrath just to save the baby. She may not have known it at that time, but her act of kindness eventually saved an entire nation. The story of Joseph, the dreamer. The story of Joseph, son of Jacob, is probably one of the most remarkable stories in the Bible. As a young man, Joseph was sold by his brothers to slave traders. He was then sold to a master in Egypt who sent him to prison for a crime he didn't commit. But because of it, he had the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph told the king that his dream is a prenotion that Egypt will have 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of severe famine. With this, he suggested to the king to keep some of the harvest so when famine comes, Egypt will not starve. Heeding his proposal, the king appointed Joseph governor of all Egypt, second only to him. And so Egypt was saved from the famine that sucked most of the surrounding lands. One day, his brothers, who sold him, came to Egypt desperate for food, as their land had been hit by the famine too. They did not recognize Joseph at first, since he was quite young when they sold him, but Joseph recognized his brothers immediately. Despite what they did to him, Joseph helped them. He gave them food and even let them bring their families to Egypt to escape the famine in their homeland. Joseph's story is a powerful example of forgiveness and kindness. After everything that he went through because of them, he could have refused to help his brothers. Yet, he didn't. He helped them because he knew they'd starve if he didn't. And that's how helping others should be. We should not think about what will happen if we help those in need, but rather what will happen if we don't. I'd like to leave you with this last story, Jesus and the tax collector. This story is one of those times in the Bible where Jesus didn't just tell us how we are to help people. Rather, he also showed us, and I find it remarkable. In Jesus' time, tax collectors were considered some of the most sinful people that ever walked the earth. They took bribes and would often line their pockets at the expense of the people. Zacchaeus was one of these people. Upon hearing that Jesus was coming to their city to preach, Zacchaeus was very curious. Since he was a small man, he climbed a tree to get a better view of Jesus over the crowds lining up to meet him. Jesus noticed him and told him that for that day, he would stay at his house. When the crowds heard about it, they muttered upon themselves about why Jesus would dine with a sinner. Hearing this, Zacchaeus said to Jesus that he would give half of his possessions to the poor. He also promised to pay back anybody he had cheated 4 times the amount he owed them. Jesus was pleased to hear this, and he declared that on that day, salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house. After reading the story, you might have wondered, what part of this is about helping others? You see, the simple act of expressing his desire to dine with Zacchaeus is already helping him. Jesus decided to dine with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, a sinner that people mostly didn't like and people didn't treat sinners well. But Jesus accepted him for who he was, regardless of his faults. And that there is the most powerful thing that you can do for someone. Sometimes that's all a person really wants. Simple acceptance. Through submitting, sacrificing, and prioritizing service to others, we represent Jesus and the experiences and the benefits of living as his servants. I'd like to leave you with this last bit of scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And it reads, He that is least among you all, the same shall be great. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith. Thank you for joining us this evening for Home Friendship Group. I'd like to close with a final prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we had to hear a lesson from you, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would learn to be kind and compassionate as you are. Father, that we would have a spirit of service to others, Lord Jesus, that we would understand that there is great reward in serving others as you once served and how you still serve today. Father, I pray that you would transform our hearts, Lord Jesus, so that we may not be selfish, Lord, but that we may be compassionate and that we may be kind to everyone that we encounter. Let us be a light unto this world, Lord Jesus, and help us to represent you to the best of our ability. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.